Now, we've been doing a series since the beginning of the year, and it's called Reaping God's Benefits, also known as Becoming Fishers of Men. Because when we're becoming fishers of men, we're also reaping God's benefits. God has given us a lot of benefits, but we got to know how to receive them. Once we receive them, we want to be also going out and sharing them and helping other people to reap those benefits. And that's why we're becoming fishers of men. Fishers of men is kind of a biblical term, so let me break it down for you. What it means is taking what we know about God, the message of God, and going out and sharing it with other people so that other people can receive the authority and the power in their life so that they're not helpless and sick and feeling like, I can't do anything with my life, I can't accomplish anything in my life. They will feel free and they'll start to become their true self. Our soul has an imprint on it where God has said, this is who you are. You're amazing. And what happens to us is as from the time we're born, people start to tell us, you can't do that. You're not old enough for this. Oh, no, you're never going to be able to do that. Only a select few ever do this. And so we put all these limitations in our mind and on ourselves that prevent us from overcoming hurdles. Hurdles that were never meant to be there. Those hurdles weren't supposed to be there because God created you to do great things. He created you to be amazing, to be successful, to be powerful, to have authority over those things that try to come against us. So there should be no hurdles in our life. So when you become a fisher of men, you take out this message that God has given you the power and wants you to be amazing. You take that out and you share that with other people. And now when they receive that, they begin to break down barriers. They begin to, you know, smash through stuff they didn't think they could do. They begin to overcome problems. And sometimes you'll know people in the world, it seems like, man, they got a lot of drama in their life, right? Man, every week it's like you've got some sort of problem or story. This is too much drama. And what they really need is they need to hear about how if they receive Jesus into their heart, there is a supernatural power that now comes upon them, the Spirit of God on the inside. And when we share that message and they start to receive that, they now can use that power. Here at Golden Heart, we're always teaching and talking to you about how to use the power that God has given you to heal your body, to break through barriers, to have financial prosperity, to reach the goals that you have had in your heart for a long time. And this is what we want to do with other people. We want to help them. So today's message is part 5 in our series called Bridge Builders. We got to be bridge builders if we want to be good fishers of men. We got to be able to build a bridge to that person out there in the world. See, when we receive Jesus into our heart and we are filled with the Spirit, we live in a different way. We have a supernatural power that works through us. So yeah, we're still in the physical body, but there's something else working through us. And this can seem very foreign or strange to people out in the world. It can, you know, and so if we start to talk to them about how we have this supernatural power, they might look at you like, yeah, right, okay, whatever, buddy. You know, you've obviously been eating the wrong things, or you're on drugs, or something's wrong with you. You've lost touch with reality because they can't relate to that. So we've got to have the ability to build a bridge. Now, at Golden Heart, I have a certain vocabulary that I use, and I have certain things that I do. And you guys can relate to that, and so you say, amen, thank you, you know, because you understand that. But when we go out in the world, if we use that same vocabulary, that same way of speaking to people, they will go, cuckoo, you know, and go the other way. So we've got to be a bridge builder in the sense that we can speak at their level. And this is what we all have the ability to do. We have the ability, through God helping us, to go out and relate to people where they are. It doesn't matter where they are or what level they're at. We want to be able to go out and speak to them at their level. And this will start to create rapport. If you want to be a good fisher of men, you've got to be able to build that bridge of rapport before you'll ever be able to lead them into a whole different life. If you want to lead them out of that trouble that they're in, you've got to first be able to see or speak to them at the level they're at so they can hear you if you're speaking a foreign language to them or talking terms and things they don't understand, they're not going to understand you. They're going to reject what you're saying. They're going to get defensive and try to push you away. But what I've been seeing, and listen to this. Let me read this part from Paul. Paul was an apostle of God, and he went out. He encountered Jesus in the Spirit one time on the road to Damascus, and he was a changed man from that time. Because before that time, he was actually killing the people that believed in the Lord Jesus. And after, here he has this vision. Jesus comes to him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "I'm not persecuting you. Who are you?" You know, and he says, "It's Jesus." He receives this understanding now, and he's changed. He suddenly realizes it's no longer about killing or persecuting. He now becomes an incredible recruiter. He becomes a recruiter for Jesus, where he goes out and he starts telling more people about him. Paul was really good at this. Paul was a great guy at building bridges, and so that's why I'm mentioning him. Listen to what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. This is Paul speaking. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." He's talking about winning people to God so they can have this life of freedom. "And to the Jews I have become a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake," meaning the good news that Jesus was telling us about us being able to be set free, "that I might be a partaker of it with you." So Paul says, "I have become all things to all men." So he's kind of a chameleon. He's changing depending on who he's talking to. You know, he is kind of meeting them where they are. And he is doing this so they can relate to him and understand him. Now, he has different experiences than who he's talking to. He has different understanding than who he's talking to because of what God has revealed to him through visions, what God has filled him with the Spirit. He feels this energy, this power moving through him that people don't understand. He can't just say, "Hey, I feel this energy stuff." People are going to go, "Yeah, whatever, dude." You know, they won't relate to that. But he's coming down to their level and talking to them wherever they are in order to win them, as he's saying. Win them. In order to lead them out of their problems in life and into the kingdom of God, which is where you can now overcome the situations and the problems of your life. So if you want to be a good fisher of men, you've got to be able to come down to somebody's level and speak to them right where they are. You know, Paul did this in amazing ways. I mean, one time he was thrown into prison. And so now he is like the prisoners. Now, it wasn't his plan to get thrown into prison. He was just doing what he did. And they arrested him. And the next day they were planning on either beating him, you know, almost to death or killing him. I don't know which one, but one of the two. And so him and his buddy are there in the prison. They're chained up. And they're singing and praising God. Now, the other prisoners probably think, these guys are crazy. But they also see he is in the prison. He is one of us. He is a prisoner. And while he is in there, what happens while they're singing and praising God? An earthquake comes, shakes the entire prison, opens every door, breaks the chains that are holding him, and he can now walk out scot-free. He doesn't walk out, though, because he's got a great opportunity there in the prison because he's just one of the prisoners. He relates to them now. "I'm a prisoner," you know. And so instead of running out, and he is able to actually convert them. The first church in Philippians, in Philippi, which they became they were Philippians, as a result of that, they started a church. So these guys started to believe in God, the power of God. They were prisoners. They were criminals. They were crooks. They were murderers. They were liars. They were stealers. But see, he didn't make a division between them. He didn't look down on them from his ivory tower and say, you guys are no good. You guys are less than me. If you want to be as great as me, you need to do this. No, he brought himself down. He created that bridge. Now I'm just like you guys. And then he was able to share with them. And they saw this power now while he was at their level. And they were like, whoa. There's something about this guy. He's just like one of us because he's a prisoner. But look what happens. Supernatural power opens the doors of the prison and sets him free. There's something about him. I want that because I'm in prison. I need to get free. Right? So we're building bridges. You got to be a good bridge builder if you're going to be like Paul. If you're going to be a good fisher of men and bring people into the kingdom of God. And so we can stand there and say, oh yeah, that guy's just a crook. You know, we can be judgmental like that. Or we can try to come to their level and speak to them. And as he said, when he was talking about those without the law, he doesn't mean that he was lawless or breaking God's laws. You know, he said, no, I wasn't doing that. But he was just kind of meeting them at the level where they were in order to bring them further. You know, this happens to me a lot. I have been speaking a lot, you know, recently especially. I've been speaking to atheists, and I've been speaking to Jewish people, and I've been speaking to Buddhists. And, you know, I've been speaking to people with all kinds of different beliefs. But what I have found is if you can find some common ground first, which this is what creates the bridge, and start to relate to them just as a person on their level. Don't come in that you're different or you're superior or that, you know, hey, I'm over here and you're over there. You know, you guys are Buddhists. You guys are atheists. I believe in the Lord. I'm over here. You have created a division or a separation. And if you have that big chasm between you, how can you lead them into something better? They're not going to relate to you. They're not going to want to hear from you because you have separated yourself from them. And you're even saying that. No, you guys are different than me. Instead, what Paul was doing was he's relating to them. No matter who they are, no matter where they are, he is relating to them, coming to their level. I've been seeing this too in my life too. And you can find something that you have in common with them. Like, for example, I was talking to an atheist the other day. I was at the gym, and I was working out. And after my workout, this guy comes up, and we begin speaking. And what did we talk about first? I didn't suddenly say, hey, you want some supernatural power of God? He's like, oh no, I'm like different than you. No, we started talking about something we had in common. We started talking about working out. I started telling him about exercises and how I was doing it and kind of my thought process behind it and how it was working for me. And he started telling me some of the difficulties he was having and getting through some barriers and working out. And guess what I had an opportunity to do when he started telling me how he's trying to get through this weight barrier and he was stuck on that. I was like, really? You're stuck on that because, you know, I really think a lot of it has to do with beliefs. I started telling them about beliefs that if you believe you can't do it, you can't do it. You've got to get the believing into you that you can break that barrier and then you break through that barrier. Well, guess what I just did? I just created a little bridge. We connected on the level where we were. We're both in the gym. We're talking about the gym. We're talking about exercises. But I haven't left him there. I just didn't leave him in the gym. I've already started to take him somewhere. I'm leading him across that bridge already because now we're talking about beliefs. And of course, what's the next step? I start talking about that when I'm lifting a heavy weight, it's not me that's doing it. I rely on this power that's inside of me to do it. I rely on God to work through me. And he was intrigued by this because we're already talking about the gym. So we have something in common. He's like, I want to break through that barrier. I want to lift more weight. You're saying you do something a little different than me, but we both want to lift the weight. I'd like to know more about this. And so he opens up. We start having a great conversation about God, about the power of God, and how God can break these barriers in our life. See, I created a little bridge. We started right there where he was. I didn't suddenly separate myself from him and said, I'm different from you. I was like Paul. I said, oh, we're the same. We're the same in this way. And as a result of that, I was able to connect with him, create some rapport. And then I could start sharing how to break out of this problem. I could start leading him. We don't want to leave him there, because sometimes when people start to relate to people in a certain situation, they just stay there. And they just keep relating to them, and they just become their friends. But we got to remember that, no, we're not just connecting with them to leave them there. We want to begin to lead them now across that bridge. We want to lead them to something greater. Check out Paul, how he did this. He was a smart guy. I tell you, he must have been hearing from God. I'm sure he was. In fact, he was. Say amen to that. So here, this is Acts 17:22. Now this is Paul again. Paul is in Athens, and again, he is creating a bridge, and notice how he does it here. Listen to this. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Now, how did he know this? See, when he came into Athens, what he saw was he saw a lot of idol worshippers. They were worshiping idols everywhere. But rather than Paul saying, oh, you guys are a bunch of idol worshipers, you know, you're really sinners, you're going to have a big problem, he didn't do that. Notice how, because if he would have did that, he would have created a division. He would have put himself on one side and them on the other. He creates a bridge, though. Watch this. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. This is how he's bridging this. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. So he sees an altar to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. In other words, Paul is saying, you guys are, you know, worshiping a lot. You're very religious. Wow. And you even have this one God, the unknown God. Guess what? I know him. I can tell you all about him. Now, at the time in Athens, at this time, they loved philosophy and they loved learning new things and they wanted to get more information. And all they did was walk around and meet other people and begin to talk about and share the new things they had learned. And so when Paul was first talking to them in Athens, they were thinking, who is this guy, this babbler? You know, they couldn't grasp it at first as he was talking in the public forums. He's a babbler. He's an idiot. You know, I don't believe that stuff. So he found a way to create a little bridge for them. You guys worship already the unknown God. Guess what? I know him. He now goes on to tell them who the unknown God is and how he works in their life. He basically reveals and makes known the unknown God who they've been worshiping all this time. He has created a bridge. See, and this is what we can do in our life. You can do this in your life too. You don't want to create division and strife. You don't have to suddenly accuse people of not being good enough. Or like, you know, Paul could have said, these guys are idol worshipers. He could have got all, you know, high and mighty on them. But he didn't do that. He found a way. See, he's more interested in, how can I help these guys? Because I know that what God is doing in my life is incredible. How can I help them to get there too? And to do that, you've got to create a bridge. You've got to be a bridge builder. So you create that connection, and now you can start to lead them where to that life that's better. And that's what he's interested in, helping them. He's interested in getting them over there where they can believe in God, where they can receive Jesus into their heart. And he does that by meeting them where they are. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus set the example for this already. Remember when he was often going to parties? He was going hanging out with the guys that were considered bad guys. He was drinking with them and eating with them. And the Pharisees were going, why is this guy only drinking and eating with sinners? You know, but what is he doing? He is creating some rapport with them. Now, he wasn't falling into their same negative behaviors. It didn't mean that he was stealing to be like them. No, he was finding some common ground, though. Hey, they were having food. You can always find some common ground over food, right? Hey, who likes Mexican? Hey, who likes Chinese? Hey, check out this dish. This stuff tastes great, right? You start to relate to one another, and now you have some common ground. And from there, things happen. And you can now take it a step further and lead them out. Jesus was doing this all the time. He was a major bridge builder. He would go into the areas and he'd meet these people and he would bring them a little closer to the kingdom of God. That's the same thing we're doing as fishers of men. We're going out and we got to be bridge builders. Now, you can do this in all kinds of ways. As I said, it doesn't matter what the person believes. It doesn't matter where they are in their life. It doesn't matter whether they're single or they're married. It doesn't matter whether they're employed or they're unemployed. It doesn't matter where they are. As long as you can find the common ground to start the foundation, to create that rapport with them, you've now are able to begin. Now, we have to, as I said, we've got to use terminology that they can understand. See, Paul did it in saying, because when he was first talking, they said, he's a babbler. He's an idiot. And then he starts finding some words that are more familiar to them. Hey, you know that unknown God? Something they're already familiar with, they can start to understand. See, Jesus, when he was teaching, at his time, he was talking a lot about farm terms. You know, he was talking about harvest and sowing. Thankfully, I grew up on a farm, so this is something I related to. But I know a lot of you did not grow up on farms. You grew up in cities. And so sometimes when I'm using farm terminology, where I'm telling my stories about the tractor and farming, you are like, what the heck is he talking about? You know, so, but at the time when Jesus was talking, a lot of people could relate to that because they were in that business. They were in the farming business. Same thing. You find that common ground, and now you begin to use it. Now, here's the thing is, you know, we all can't be everything, although Paul says he tries to be all things to all men. Some of us have different interests. I like going to the gym and working out. Seth likes rock climbing. You know, I'm not really a rock climber. That means I would be more difficult for me to kind of connect with other rock climbers in order to start that kind of, you know, that have that rapport with them. But that's where Seth comes in. And that's why all of us have to be doing our part as well. Going out there and sharing the fact that you can break. You don't have to have this life of struggle and difficulty. You don't have to have this problem. Meaning that we can all go out there and share that same message, the good news, that you can be liberated and free. But we all have a different ability because we have different skills and different talents and we have different interests and things that we like. And as a result of that, it opens the door for us to begin to communicate with other people. Be a bridge builder. Don't separate yourself from the world. Don't condemn them. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You don't have to do that. You know, and just because you're beginning to relate with them and share the message doesn't mean you're like them. It doesn't mean you have become like them because you still know the truth and you're still working with God in your life. So all of us can be working together in order to build those bridges so that more people can come into the kingdom of God, so that more people can have that freedom in their life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we want that. And that's, as fishers of men, that's where we're working towards. It's one of the skills and the traits. Remember I said 2015, this year, is about developing the skills, the traits, and the abilities of being a fisher of men. Meaning the ability to bring more people into the kingdom of God. And what does that mean? Let me just emphasize that again if you're not sure what I mean by that. That means setting people free. Allowing them to have the life where they can fulfill their dreams. Often in the world or in society, they start to say, you shouldn't pursue your dreams. Get a steady job, right? They start to try to limit you. But what I'm saying is that God wants us, if you have a desire in your heart, God has put a dream already there, a seed of a dream in your heart, and it starts to grow. And God wants us to fulfill it. He created us to have a great life. He created you to achieve those goals and those dreams. And we do that through breaking out of those barriers. We break people out of the barriers by bringing the power of God, the supernatural power of God, into their life. So that now they can step out of the problems and start to pursue the dreams. Whatever the dream is, you have the ability and the power when you are working with God. Why? Because God created you to fulfill that dream. And He provided all of the resources you're going to need to fulfill that dream. Already, He already gave them. When God came down on the earth as Jesus and walked, it was God giving Everything that he had, every good thing that he had in heaven, he poured it out and he gave it to you. And now we just have to receive it. And by receiving Jesus, we open the way now to receiving all of the things that God has given us so that we can live the life of our dreams. An amazing life. A life of blessing. You can live a life of blessing. You can live a life of joy and a life of happiness. Now, a lot of times people are talking when they share. This is the other thing that bothers me. When people are sharing about what happens in the kingdom of God, people think it's boring. People, you know, why do they think that? Because that's the way people made it sound. Because that's what somebody told them. People think it's hard. It's hard to work with God. It, you know, they think all these things. They think that it, you know, it can't, you can't have fun if you're working with God. Well, I'm going to tell you, none of that is true. That's what somebody said, but none of that is true. So when you're sharing with people to be a bridge builder, make sure you do not misrepresent what God has said. God never said you couldn't have fun. God never said you couldn't have a great life. God never said that it would be hard. God said, it's easy. God said, I want you to have a good time. I want you to be filled with love and joy. So when you're being a bridge builder, begin to share it in a happy way. Don't be depressed and boring. Let them know how great it is. Because when you start using the power of God in your life, it really becomes an adventure. I'm telling you, when I see miracles, when we pray and people are healed, and I see miracles that God is doing, that's exciting. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's exciting. And it's better than just getting up day after day and kind of going through a normal life to see the amazing things that are happening, seeing opportunities that are opening, always getting the best parking spot.
Amen.
Right? That is, that you suddenly start to expect great things. It becomes an adventure. Life is an adventure, and it's fun, and it's great to have it. Say amen to that.
Amen.